Rosh Hashanah is a feast by which, in your understanding, you've entered into the New Jerusalem, never, ever, ever again to return elsewhere. It's a feast by which now you live permanently, no matter what the external conditions look like. You live permanently in the City of Lights. This is your permanent residence, never ever again to leave the mercy seat. Never ever again to be subject to cause and effect. Anything else is a lie. And you now, you are empowered. You don't have to believe the lies any longer.
Life from the city, not made with hands. When the light from the city finds me alone, it can open my heart, carry me home to the city, not made with hands. Heard a voice speaking as clear as a bell, saying, leave this place, it's a living hell. So I traveled west, as the darkness fell. Long, long time ago, over the mountains and a sea of grass, next place ought to be better than the last, but the desert's too hot, the river's too fast, it's the same
wherever I go. Stone on stone can't stand when the earthquakes. Metal on metal brings nothing but tears. Flesh and bone can't live when the living takes all of my strength. Leaves only fears. Cry in the night. Not stop until the promised land's in sight. Wherever it is.
Hallelujah.
The city of light.
Down roots to begin again, but felt like the walls were closing in. They were heading to fire, but I wanted ten. Thought it was time to move on. A thousand light, they were flooding the road, looking for a place to rest their load. But the jobs were taken, the wheels were hoed, the promises broken and gone.
Stone on stone can't stand when the earthquakes. Metal on metal brings nothing but tears.
Flesh and bone can't live when the living takes all my strength. Leaves only tears. Cry in the night. Not stop until the promised land's in sight. Wherever it is, the city of light. Light from the city can break these bands. Light from the city.
Tested gold,
hallelujah.
The shine. When your soul's poured out and the spirit takes all your tears, you leave them behind. You cry in the night. You might stop until the promised land's in sight.
Well, here is the city of light.
The trumpets sounded the entire day, from sunset to the next sunset. On every other feast, or on every other occasion when a trumpet was blown, when the shofar was blown, they used a silver mouthpiece. On Rosh Hashanah, they used the golden mouthpiece. The rabbinical authorities showed by logic, by scripture, and by experience that at the sound of the trumpet, Satan was confused. He had no more power to accuse. On the sound of the trumpet, there was the clarity of a perfectly cast bell in your understanding, in your hearing. You saw without shadow. No more hot or cold, no more lukewarm, only hot or cold. Clarity beyond clarity. Now, at this point, Psalm 29 was read.
29 or 81?
I mean 81, excuse me, you're right. I had my finger in 81. He didn't mind.
It doesn't count. Too many rabbis. Never enough rabbis.
Sing aloud unto God our strength. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow the trumpet in the new moon. No one else can see the new moon. To the world, there's no moon. Blow the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed, our solemn feast day, today. For this was a statute for Israel, and a law of the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony. What did he ordain in Joseph? Christ. When he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. Now, from your standpoint, that's all you've done all your life, is you've heard a language that you understood not. You've made 1,000 attempts to try to understand the language, to understand the game. You're not supposed to understand the language. Because with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak unto this, my people. All your life you've tried learning line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, until you finally have gone forward and fallen backward, and now are snared and taken. Now you don't have to worry about understanding that strange, stupid language out there. I removed his shoulder from the burden. Better stated, I relieved all the pressure from off your shoulders. Your hands were delivered from the pots. Thou calledst in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret places of thunder. I proved thee at the bitter waters, at the waters of Meribah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me, there shall no strange god be in thee. Neither shalt thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, which brought thee out of the world and all its corruption, which brought you out of Babylon and its religious garbage. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But don't be like the rest of this. My people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them up unto their own hearts' desires, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat and with the honey out of the rock, should I have satisfied thee.
Can I interrupt you a second? That phrase, the haters of the Lord, really struck me, because our minds always lie to us and say, oh, I don't really hate God, I just accidentally wandered off the path a little bit.
It's our minds that are the haters. Now at this point, another trumpet was blown. Where's Buck? We need a... And the priest then proclaimed, Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe. Blessed be he who reneweth the months. Blessed be he by whose word the heavens were created, and the breath of whose mouth all the hosts thereof were formed. He appointed you a law and a time, that you should not overstep your course. You rejoice now and are glad to perform the will of your Creator, the author of truth. Your operations are now truth. He spoke to the moon, Be thou renewed, and the beautiful diadem, the hope of man, Israel, who shall one day be quickened like the moon at the coming of Messiah, and praise their Creator for his glorious kingdom. Blessed be he who reneweth the moon. Now, during the day now, the Talmud, women don't have to do anything. The reason is that when the call came to build the golden calf, the men gladly gave all of their jewelry and all of their earrings and nose ornaments. They had a lot of ornaments.
You said men. You mean
the men gladly gave all of their earrings, their jewelry, their ornaments to Aaron to build the golden calf. The women refused. The women saved their ornaments for the things that were necessary for the true temple of the Lord. It's kind of interesting. Now, on Rosh Hashanah, the scriptures say, or the Talmud says, that three books are opened. The first book is the Book of Life. And in it, it's the people that were good. The next book is the Book of Death. And that's the people that were evil, thoroughly evil. An intermediate book is the cases that should be decided between this day and the Day of Judgment. The Day of Judgment is in 10 days, or in our case, 1 week, since we're going to celebrate it next week. And so these next few days in the Hebrew, in the actual calendar, it's 10 days, and they're called the Days of Awe. And we'll see what this means in a minute. But it's the delay is God simply, in his mercy, granting a time for repentance. In actuality, Rosh Hashanah, by law, is the end. It's the beginning and the end. But because of the grace of God, in his mercy, he's allowed 10 more days as the days of awe, to give you an opportunity to turn from self. Got it? And that's what the scriptures call the judgment seat, or the judgment day. Now in truth, it's always been the judgment day and the last day. But God in his mercy has let linear time continue for these 2,000 years to provide man an opportunity to turn from self. You understand? Now the prayer at this point, well, again, all of the children of men pass before the throne of God like lambs, the same way that when the flock is tithed, they have this stick with dye on it and they whap every tenth one or every... So, God is getting his tithe here. The rest of them are going... Understand? Now here's what's said at this point by the priest. No, I'm going to wait a minute. Just before this period, he says to you who have the potential to be in the Book of Life, he says, "Awake, awake from your slumbers, you who have fallen asleep in life. Reflect on your deed, remember your Creator. Be not of those who miss reality in pursuit of shadows and waste their years in seeking after vain things. Forsake your ways and your thoughts, for they are evil." Remember he said that. And now the next thing he says. At the close of the feast, now we're going to sing the Hallel at this point, but normally the Hallel isn't sung, but because we know we are in the Lamb's Book of Life, because our life is Christ, we can sing the Hallel. Now he says, to those of you who don't know, he says, now, O Lord our God, impose thine awe upon all thy works, and thy dread upon all that thou hast created, that all thy works may revere thee, and all creation prostrate themselves before thee, that they all form a single band to do thy will with a single perfect heart. You got it? Remember, the essence of this day is happy are the people that hear and understand the sound of the trumpet, the shofar. Now, there's 60 jillion things else we could study, but I feel like singing the hallel. Now again, let me just, the purpose of the last blowing of the trumpet, when that thing that I just read about imposing in awe, it's to confuse Satan, to bring the merits of the patriarchs, really, to bring God's covenant with Israel to mind, and to call to repentance, i.e. to wake men up from their sleep of sloth. Those of us who are awake, we know a weird thing, and that is that truth is a sustained consciousness of error. You understand?
Yes.
Truth is a sustained consciousness of error. Error meaning you can't do it, so abandon yourself. There's nothing in you right, so abandon yourself. Stop trying to be right for the first time in your life. Now, there's a Sufi Muslim saying that has its, it's appropriate for this. It's quote, when the heart weeps for what it has lost, the spirit laughs for what it has found. Ready to sing the hallel? Anybody got any thoughts?
I heard something earlier this evening when you talked about where we are in our closet, and that stuff is hidden, you know, and my mind translated that immediately into the place, into my depravity. I just, you know, quote my depravity, and I realized almost immediately that. You know, that's just a religious thing. It was a camouflage, a cover. I can hide all these things, you know, under that. Whereas if you say it's just your closet where you're hiding, it doesn't have any negative connotation that hides it. And I was struck by that because you hear that a lot amongst religious people is, you know, they wave their hands at this thing they call their depravity, but it prevents them from having to find out that the truth is staying conscious of error, because they're trying to be unconscious of it by lumping into a category and then putting a cover over it and saying this is camouflaged and I can wave my hands at it.
Amen. Wait a minute. I gotta find something. Listen, this is what I believe Paul is saying at this point in the New Testament. It's Ephesians 5, verse 6. From now on, let no man deceive you. Shut up, tutor.
It's okay, I'll be right back.
Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light. In the Lord, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, testing what is acceptable unto the Lord. Have no fellowship in here with the unfruitful works of darkness, rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. You understand what he's saying? The idea of all your plans and schemes for self-betterment, God says it's a shame even to speak of those things. But all things are reproved, all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest or doth reveal is light. You don't get rid of darkness by analyzing it. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now you've been asleep for too long. God is saying, wake up. Just the same as Abraham was. Abraham was asleep when he completed the covenant. And then he woke up, and it was all done. I didn't even know what the hell had happened. Well, now you don't know what's happened. Now God's promise is he will perform in you that which he has appointed you to do. Hello, what page?
31.
The Hallel is Psalm 113 to 118, and it was sung on peculiar feast days.
Praise ye the Lord, ye servants of Yahweh, blessed be his name. Now and forever, from the rising sun to the setting of the same, to the setting of the same. The Lord is higher than all of the peoples, his glory than the stars in the sky. He has to stoop to examine the earth, and down to see the heavens on high. He raises the poor from their houses of dust, and the needy from the midst of the dumb, and gives them a place with princes, and children to the barren one, and children to the barren
mountains get by.
got the other wrong.
The winds were shaking like hell.
They have eyes that never see. They have eyes.
Ideas and opinions of the way you think things should be. Those are your idols. And you trust in them and you worship them just like you do if you were paganing out.
Paganing
out. To God, it's the same thing. Amen?
Amen.
If you trust in those idols, like the idol, you'll become. Just think of the freedom of abandonment. Having no idea what's going to happen there. Where's the thing? No, not those. No, that's the brown thing. Yeah.
Denise, you can't play both of them. Hammering. Take your thingy, Denise.
Read the hammering. Shut up.
Right here in our shed, right here, let's have a flying here.
Can you play it or not?
I'm looking it up already.
Don't get smart.
Yeah.
Right here in our shed.
You gotta look up the words so you can play the tambourine.
Thank you.
can't play.
Well, that's right. The
Trey.
DG's right.
What the hell did you do to the microphone? Hey, you need a liberist, not a sword.
Turn it down. Yeah, yeah. If don't play that.
Your finger, you'd be all right.
What?
Don't do that, Chuck.
Oh.
No tambourine.
Okay.
You need a liberist, not a sword.
What?
Here, wise ass. Jackie, you stand in the by the end of the street.
What?
Whoever else can sing this part, go over there. Where?
Louis?
Jackie. Don't.
Louis, get over here and help
me. No.
He was singing earlier and he sounded great.
Yeah, Louis
part of the
choir.
He's a good singer,
but why don't you sing, Louis?
He's singing.
Because you're a bonehead.
Part of the heavenly choir.
Bonehead.
He just has a bad reputation.
He's a bonehead.
Denise, would you? We need to pass out the bread and the wine. Well, recruit somebody else besides Denise. No, I've got to help you. I'm not going to play the tambourine. I'm not going to touch. I'm not going to sing. I'm going to sit here because every time I do anything, you make fun of me. So Rabbi Kirk.
We'd never tell you what you're
thinking. Yeah, we never make fun of you.
That's the G. Here we go.
Probably gonna need four cups, new cups.
His love is everlasting. Give thanks unto the Lord. His love is everlasting. Let Israel say the word. He His love is everlasting. Let the house of Aaron shout. His love is everlasting. Those who fear him must cry out.
Call on the Lord in my distress, to my side. I got nothing to fear from all the rest. Don't have to hide. Take back my confidence in the powers of man. Place in all my trust and hope in his mighty hand. But the enemy came.
You know, I was flipping through the pages of looking at all this body of work that John has done, and it's overwhelming. Fortunately, John didn't hear that.
Maybe someday you'll
know.
Any more?
If you don't have wine, raise your hand.
Right here.
3, 4.
Five.
5.5. Get an empty cup. We're cutting in. Get an empty cup.
Trying to give you a heart.
No, what I said, John, was that I was, while you were singing that last, I was looking through all of these that you had written and others, and it was just overwhelming, and I thank you.
But after all, it's
4,000 years.
Produce something.
That's a song every 13,000 years.
Is that your leg? I'd
like one thing, please.
Better that than the carpet.
That's enough. Buck's the only one that doesn't have one.
Buck and I are the only ones.
You
Buck?
This is a parable.
New York, next to last, New Jersey last.
Oh, the two nastiest people.
Oh, we found they out. They both look like
Jenny said word studies. We found out that New Jersey is gay.
Gehenna?
New Jersey is gay?
It's centered. Gehenna.
It's a sea Gehenna. It's a trash dump for New
York.
What did you say, Barbara?
So they both look like seas.
Kiss. What? By the way, did you notice where the matzo was made?
Where?
New Jersey. The same New Jersey.
That's right.
Manischewitz.
For the 13th tribe.
Oh, is that a new liturgy?
This is loyalty for you.
Harry, they just don't know. They don't understand.
We don't understand that language.
You got to pat it.
Does everyone have a little better understanding about what Rosh Hashanah is?
Yeah. Yes.
A little bit.
Does anybody have anything to say?
Rabbi Friedberg's real pissed off.
Rabbi Friedberg.
What a Rosh.
What a Rosh.
Ah.
Ooh.
Is it Friedberg?
Fishstein.
Friedberg.
I was sitting here holding what I thought was my wine, and it was awfully hot. I wondered what Harry had done. And it was my coffee.
It's a miracle.
It's a urine sample.
Changing.
It was something extra for you.
Oh, something extra for the boys.
It's kosher.
First day of the rabbi.
It's
modern rabbi ordeal.
I heard it's something more than it's in Dutch. Waters of the curse.
I want you not to be satisfied with anything other than perfect rest, with anything other than peace. That's the meaning of this, because the word is made flesh. That's the meaning of Rosh Hashanah. It's not just the word made flesh, it's the word made flesh visible, tangible. You don't have to be satisfied with the garbage of the world and the garbage of the lies of your mind. Now, each time we go through one of these feasts or one of the studies or searching the scriptures, we see a little bit more of what it means to discern his body when we eat the bread and the wine. It's all of him, nothing of us. He is our life. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. By these stripes we are healed. By the wine we are made worthy. Never again trying to prove our own rightness. Never again even concerned with rightness. Understanding, liberty, are the two hallmarks of Rosh Hashanah, and light. Amen?
Amen?
The same evening in which he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. It was from one loaf. We are one bread. He broke it and he blessed it, saying, "Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who bringeth forth bread from the earth, who bringeth forth the bread of life from this earthen vessel."
Yeah, I was thinking about this, I guess, the other day, that, you know, now I've always had these images of what Christ was like, you know, studying and finding out, you know, I just have ideas about what Christ was like. They're all wrong. It's God, you know, bringing forth these glorious things from lowly birth. And just, anyway. The really wild thing is the images I have of myself. It's seeing me in this state of confusion and weakness, everything, and realizing that in the same position as Christ, this thing coming forth, this vessel, and that's the really wild thing.
You don't have to worry about a lot of stuff like they worry about in Babylon.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about doing it right. You don't have to worry about copying any liturgy. You just have to let you be you. Because of the covenant. He is obligated, because of his covenant, to treat you as his own flesh. And now, as this is his flesh, so also is it your flesh. And he said, take, eat, this is my body. Fresh matzah.
Yeah, it just flowed in from the tree.
It's cold.
He took the cup. Remember what we've been studying about leprosy. Leprosy is the only disease that I'm aware of that's spread by the process of fermentation. It's spread by, it's an organic decay of a living system. And it's spread by fermentation. The only disease I'm aware of. That's why it's the opposite of revelation. It's the opposite of truth. Because our purpose is to be fermented as a group and prophesy freely whatever is there, giving no thought for what we say, no thought for anything. But leprosy is that great you enclosed, covered, isolated, alone, constantly concerned with self, slowly but surely fermenting. And because of your enclosure, you are rotting and decaying. You are wounds and bruises and putrefying sores because you're continually concerned with the selfness of you. The mystery is the same process of fermentation which causes the spread of leprosy is the mystery that causes the grape as a body of grapes to ferment into wine. The mystery of the universe, Israel. You understand? Now that's why he took the cup and gave thanks, saying, blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who createst the fruit of the vine. The fruit of the vine is the wine, not an isolated grape rotting to death thinking he's going to get blessed by God. Am I communicating? This isn't optional. That little isolated grape has a whole bunch of names. Leprous, Pharisee, Sadducee. You know, I could go on and on. But one singular cause for being isolated, alone, separate, because you believe the lie of that beast which has resurrected himself in you from a deadly head wound. And you have believed Satan, who has all these years been masquerading as you. You knew you weren't anybody in the first place. You spent a lifetime trying to prove you were somebody. All these years you've been masquerading as Satan. Or Satan's been masquerading as you and you didn't even know it. And he's had you bound by one lie, and that's the one lie of the need to prove your worth. Amen. Your rightness. Now by this wine you are made right. Yeah. Now unto you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. The things that you hear and take for granted are the things that people throughout the ages have spent lifetimes and hundreds of lifetimes searching for, given up their fortunes. And to you it's given freely. Don't take it lightly. To his worth, no longer need for mine, to life. Now let the new life begin in truth and in deed and in thought. Amen?
Amen.
Take it big, guy.